All right. Well, you know, before we fully get started this morning, a couple things I wanted to share with you. You know, there's been some talk as to how we as a church are going to approach church in this season, you know, with this lockdown and all this other kind of stuff. And here's the thing. As far as we're concerned, God has given us an opportunity to seek Him together in a variety of ways. And if you're comfortable being with us in person, awesome. We have a place for you. We have our protocols set up. We, you know, are spatially, you know, set up in such a way that we can, you know, be physically distant. We, you know, ask you that you wear masks. If you are even remotely sick in any way whatsoever, we just ask that you stay at home. Other than that, if you want to be here, awesome. And if you want to stay at home and join us online, awesome. Nobody's judging you either way. If you want to be here with us and seek Jesus with us and celebrate Jesus with us in whatever capacity you feel like you need, great, praise God. That's our philosophy. And that's how we are approaching this. You know, last week I had mentioned, because I don't know if you'd noticed, but I hadn't been around for about 3 to 4 weeks, because I contracted COVID-19. And I am healthier now. I am not contagious, got through all this stuff, and cleared by the doctors and all that stuff. And so here I am. And there was a response, a reasonable response by a few of the members in the body after I had kind of subtly, low-key mentioned it last week, just wondering how come I didn't make an announcement about, or how come I didn't have the body make an announcement about why I was gone, or, you know, what happened to me or what I was going through and all that other kind of stuff. And here's the thing. For me, I didn't want to make an announcement simply because there's this idea that if you get COVID, it's like a death sentence and it's like the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you and all that stuff. And I was just trying not to, you know, hit the panic button. You know, I just didn't want it to be a thing where it was like, you know, everybody was freaked out because I got COVID or whatever. And so I just kind of let it go, or, you know, and all that stuff. But there were those that had mentioned, and rightfully so, like, we would love to have been praying for you during that time. And we would have been mindful of what God was doing and all this other kind of stuff. And we wanted to be able to care for you. And I recognize that as well. So for those of you that might have been a little bit hurt that I didn't kind of make the announcement and allow you guys to be there with me and for me and all of that stuff, I am 100%, like, I apologize. I am sorry. I didn't really think in those terms. I was just trying to, you know, protect us as a church, not so much from knowing what I was going through, but just trying not to, you know, cause undue panic or whatever. So there you go. And I am, for anybody that might have been hurt that I didn't let the body know what was going on during that time, I am genuinely sorry that you went through that. And I should have said something. And I mentioned it to my wife, and she goes, "I told you. I told you to let everybody know." So let the record show, as always, my wife was right and I was wrong. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the fact that we get to seek your face. It's such a gift, God. There is a world of people serving false gods and idols and different systems of religion, and they are seeking deities that can't provide for them because they don't exist. They put their hope in places that can't give them hope. But we, God, recognize that you are real, that you are truth, that you are here, and that we have your word, and we get to spend time with you physically here in this building, physically in homes spread across the country, really. But we get this opportunity to be with you wherever we're at, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are omnipresent. We thank you that you are real and that you are really here. So help us, God, to hear your voice. Help us to know your mind. Help us to be in sync with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The bulk of our study this morning is going to be in Philippians chapter 4. So if you want to turn there and leave a marker, that's where we're going to end up. But for now, we are going to begin in the Gospel of John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. On the East Coast, specifically in the New England area, there is a chain of donut shops called Honeydew Donuts. Honeydew Donuts. They've been making donuts, pastries, muffins, and a variety of coffees since 1973. It's what they do. But donuts is, for all intents and purposes, their bread and butter. It's their signature thing. That's thus the Honeydew Donuts. They have this motto, always fresh, always good. I've never been to Honeydew Donuts, but I kind of like this place, and I have a favorite spot already. It is found in the Quincy YMCA in Massachusetts. Though I've never been there, you know why it's my favorite? Because it's funny. Because of the emphasis of fitness and healthy living for the YMCA, the Honeydew Donuts location in the Y doesn't sell donuts. Can you imagine? Right? They sell low-fat muffins, coffees, salads, and sandwiches. The sign says Honeydew Donuts, but they don't sell donuts. They should be Honey Don't Do Donuts. Can you imagine going to the YMCA? You take your kid there. They're going to play like a basketball game or something. Honeydew Donuts. I like that place. Let me go get me a donut. Hi, I would like a jelly donut and a medium coffee, please. We got you on the coffee, but sorry, we don't sell donuts. I didn't ask for a steak like your Honeydew Donuts. Sorry, we don't do donuts. I like going to In-N-Out and asking for a double-double hamburger, and they say, sorry, we only do tofu here. God's word describes God as being the God of peace. As a matter of fact, Paul is going to call God that in our text in Philippians chapter 4. He is the God of peace. He mentions in 2 Thessalonians that God is the Lord of peace or the Master of peace. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this in verse 27. Look at it with me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think it's interesting the way that Jesus says this. Recognizing that he is the God of peace, that he is the Master of peace, he tells his disciples, I'm giving you my peace. And I'm not giving it to you in the way that the world does, because the world tries to offer you peace and they can't provide it. The world in and of itself is a place of chaos. We are a fallen people living in a fallen world where stuff happens. None of us will say that life is cupcakes and rainbows. Life is hard. From the very beginning, from our inception to our birth and everything we experience until that point where we step into eternity, we all recognize that life isn't easy. It's hard. It's full of troubles. And Jesus said the world might try to offer you peace, but they can't give it to you. I offer peace as the God of peace, as the Prince of peace, as the Master of peace. And I offer it to you not like the world does. I can actually give it to you. But then Jesus says something interesting. He says in verse 27, look at the end. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. I offer you peace. Now, what are you going to do with that peace? See, what happens is we as believers hear that God is the God of peace, that he is the master of peace, that Jesus is the prince of peace, and that he offers to us his peace. And when we live in this chaotic world full of all kinds of heartache and pain and trouble and consequences, and we're like, where is the God of peace? We feel like God is offering us peace in a way that Honey Don't Do Donuts don't offer donuts in Quincy, Massachusetts. That he offers peace, but he doesn't give us peace. That he is the God of peace, and yet we don't experience peace. And so we look at God and say, well, what's up with that God? There are all kinds of people who have been called, who call themselves believers, who have walked away from a relationship with God because they're like, how can a real God let me go through this kind of pain? How can he tell me I can have peace when I feel like my life is anything but peaceful? But in his offer of peace, in his promise of peace, there is a requirement on us to receive it. And there's a question as to what we're going to do with it. So Jesus says, I give you my peace. So don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. There is a point in God's promise of peace where we have an option as to what we're going to do with that. Reality is, we have to fight for peace. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle is going to show us how. And so that's the topic of our Bible study this morning. I've entitled this message, The Fight for Peace. As oxymoronic as that might sound, it's the reality on how peace is accomplished in our life. That God offers it to us, but there is a point where we have to take ownership of it. And so Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is going to show us how to fight for peace. Now for context, we're going to start at verse 1 so we can establish the foundation for our message today. Paul says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. You might remember that at the end of chapter 3, Paul tells us that we are citizens of heaven and we look forward to heaven with all the joys and the benefits that heaven offers to us. We're those that belong to God. He rules our life and we look forward to the day where he rules in perfection and we don't have to deal with this drama no more. But in the meantime, we live in the here and now. And so Paul tells us in verse 1 to stand fast in the Lord, to stand strong in the Lord, to make our stand in the Lord, or to find our stability in the Lord. And then from there, he sets a theme for the remainder of the book of Philippians. This is how we stand fast. This is where we find our stability. And so he goes on from there in verse 2 saying, I implore Yodia and Sinchuk. I forgot to write down their pronunciation, so sorry for butchering it. Yeah, sure. He said to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, I'm not going to rehash the things we looked at last week, but you might remember that we set these three lessons that Paul gives us. We find our stability in the Lord. We make our stand in the Lord in the way that we are proactive about unity, in the way that we embrace relentless joy, and in the way that we stand for social justice, in the way that God defines it. Now, if you want to see how we found all of those things in this section of Scripture, you can go online and check it out. But needless to say, that's what Paul is talking about here. And he's telling us how we can find our stance and our stability in Jesus in the way that we do these things. But then he says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now we read these words, and it makes sense that this is what leads us to stability, to stand fast in the Lord, to find peace in Him, right? Stability and peace, it seems like they go hand in hand. We read in verse 7 that Paul is really telling us that God is offering us a peace that surpasses understanding. Man, that sounds great. And then he reminds us in verse 9, as I mentioned to you earlier, that God is the God of peace. And so we hear these words and it sounds lovely and amazing and awesome. And this is the things that we want. But again, look at verse 9 with me a little bit more closely. He says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, he's telling us that if we want peace and we want God's peace and we want the presence of God's peace, then there is an act of obedience that is necessary in us. See, we want our peace in such a way that we don't have to work for it. We want it given to us. We want kind of like that Burger King kind of peace. Our way, right away. We want it the way that we want it. We want a peace that we don't have to work for. We want a peace that comes from understanding. We want a peace that comes from a place where we don't have to experience pain or loss or heartache or frustration or consequence. We want a peace that comes from an easy life. And we feel like God owes that to us. That if God was really good, that if God was really great, if God really knows everything, if God is really God, then why do I experience pain? Then why do I go through some hard stuff? Then why is life so frustrating and difficult? Why do I feel so anxious and depressed? Why do I have to experience such devastating heartache? I don't have peace because God doesn't give me peace. No, 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 no. God offers peace. But there is a requirement on us to do things God's way so that we can experience that peace. That's why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled or don't let yourself be afraid. If you're saying, look, Brandon, I want God's peace, but my heart is very troubled. I feel all kinds of fear. Look, it's not because God isn't giving you peace. It's because we're not responding to God's peace in such a way that gives us an opportunity to experience it. And what Paul is telling us here is that God is the God of peace and he wants to give us his peace and we can experience this peace. But again, in verse 9, again, look at it with me. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. He's like, I lived this. You do it too, and the God of peace will be with you. See, what's happening here is that Paul is showing them the avenue to peace. There's this kind of cliche used in tons of sermons. You may have heard it before, but I think it does paint a really powerful and important picture. It is of a man who is in a hole. He found himself, wandering around, and he ended up into some ditch, and he starts shouting for help. People come by, and they don't know what to do to help him. They don't have the tools to help him, and so they're like, sorry, can't help you. Finally, somebody comes by, and he looks at the man in the hole, and he's like, hey, what do you need? And the man in the hole says, I need a way out of here. And so the man outside the hole jumps in the hole with them, and he's like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Like, I need to get out. Why did you get yourself in? Now we're both stuck here. And the man's response to him is this: hey, I've been in this hole before. I know the way out, and so I got in here with you so I could show you. This is what Paul's saying. He's like, hey, I've gone through it. And you know Paul's life. Like, if you've been a believer for longer than 5 minutes and you've looked at the New Testament, you know that Paul's been through some stuff, right? Paul said, I don't know about you, but I know everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit already told me that chains and tribulation await me. Like, I know, like, you guys go to a new city and you look for a hotel. I go to a city and I jump on Yelp and I want to know what the prisons are like because I'm probably going to end up there. He's like, chains and tribulation, that's a way of life for me. And he's the one teaching us to rejoice in the Lord always. And he's the one that's saying, hey, look, I'm telling you how to achieve peace, how to experience peace. You just got to do it. Listen to me. This is how God has led me, and this is how God is going to lead you to peace. You want stability in Jesus? You want to be steadfast in him? You want to rejoice in the Lord always? You want to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding? Pay attention. And don't just hear me, but actually do it. And that's an important thing for us to understand, isn't it? There really isn't much in God's word that we haven't already heard, but hearing and doing are two different things. That's why James tells us to not just be hearers only, but to be doers of God's word. How many of you have heard somebody say to you, you can have peace in Jesus, and you're like, stop it with that noise. I'm not trying to hear that right now. Don't tell me about this peace that comes from God. I know that God wants to give me peace, but that doesn't change my situation. No, it might not change your situation, but it can change how you experience your situation. The problem is we hear it, we know it, but we find trouble doing it. This is how we do it. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The first instruction given to us in verse 6 isn't to pray. Did you pick up on that? The first instruction given to us in verse 6 isn't to pray. The first instruction given to us in verse 6 is to not be anxious. Now, that might sound weird to us because anxiety, for some of us, is like a knee-jerk reaction. You know, it's like somebody is checking our reflexes. You go to the doctor and they have that little hammer. I don't think they really do that anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, that little rubber hammer thing, you know, they would just like check my reflexes and kind of hit at my knee, and it took him like 3 or 4 tries before he got the reflex spot. And then finally, you know, I kind of kicked and I wanted to kick him for hitting my knee a couple times beforehand, but you know what I'm talking about? It's a reflex. And we think of anxiety and fear like a reflex. That it's not something that we control, it's something that we experience based on our circumstances hitting us in the knee. But our initial response may be a reflex, but what we do after that initial response matters. And that's what Paul is talking about. Don't stay in a state of anxiety and fear. And you might say to Paul, like, that's crazy talk. How are you going to tell me to not stay in a state of anxiety and fear? You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. If you experienced my life, you would be anxious too. If you experienced my life, you would be depressed. If you experienced my life, you would feel my pain and this idea of not giving in to anxiety and fear wouldn't even be something that would come up with you, Paul. The idea of anxiety here, he says, tells us to be anxious for nothing. The best translation is probably found in the new or in the Old King James, where it says, don't be careful. The idea of careful, it doesn't mean like don't be cautious, but it says don't be full of cares. The idea is being overwhelmed by all of your cares. Webster's dictionary defines the word anxious as a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, a fearful concerns. And the idea is don't be in a place where you hold your cares, that you keep them on your shoulders. And again, people might be like, well, Brandon, then who's going to care for him? Like, is God going to pay my bills? Is God going to give me the cure to cancer? Is God going to be the one to get me out of the lockdown? Is God going to give me my vaccination for COVID-19? Is God going to give me the healing for COVID-19 so I don't have to take the vaccination? Is God going to be the one to rule our country? And it goes on and on. And the answer is, in all of that, God is the answer. That God is our source of hope. That God is our place of peace. And God is the one to carry our burdens. We're told by Peter, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Take my yoke on you. Give me yours, and you will find rest for your souls. He's the one that we do need to go to. But what we do with that anxiety really is a choice. Did you hear that? What we do with the anxiety is a choice. We don't want to see it as a choice. But what we do in that moment where we say, anxiety is not a choice for me. It's an experience that I go through whether I choose it or not. I would say to you, yes and no. Interesting thing is that I've been through it before, and I've mentioned to you before that I've dealt with and still deal with anxiety and depression. So when Paul says to us, he's the kind of guy that has been through it and he's showing us the place of peace, it's not just Paul, I've experienced too. So I'm not the kind of guy that's going to stand here and tell you, don't be anxious, as a guy that's never experienced anxiety. And what I've recognized in the truth of God's word is that my life as a believer doesn't keep me from feeling anxiety, but what it does is it shows me how to deal with it. In the same way that I might have, well, I do have diabetes, and I have medication, and I have a certain diet, and I have to exercise, and I have to do certain things to keep my diabetes in control so it doesn't control me. I might feel anxiety, but what I have found in God's word is that he shows me how to deal with it and how to fight for God's peace. And so what happens when we refuse to listen to God and we hold on to our anxiety, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I don't trust you to be good to me. I don't trust you to help me out of this. I don't think you're going to provide for me. And I won't trust you unless and until you show up. Then I'll trust you. How many of you have heard before or have thought before, I will trust God when my stuff is solved? Don't tell me not to be anxious, because anxiety, or telling me not to be anxious and not to hold on to my anxiety, doesn't solve my situation. And what we're essentially saying to God is, God, I don't trust you until you prove yourself worthy of my trust. But is that really trust? And so how we respond to that anxiety is important. So he tells us not to be anxious. We're looking for the peace. How do we get there? Well, that's where we continue in verse 6. In everything. See that word everything? It means everything. No matter what the source of our anxiety is. It can be different from one person to another. I read a book years ago. It was kind of like this sci-fi type book. And there is this creature in the book that has no form of its own, or at least nobody has ever seen it. But when it shows itself to a person, it shows itself in the form of whatever that person's greatest fear is. Right? Like, you don't know what it normally looks like, but when you see it, it is in the form of your greatest fear. That's kind of what anxiety is. It's different for all of us. It might seem like a light thing to others, the things that we go through, but it's still very real to us. So I'm not dismissing whatever's going on in your life, but Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shows us how to attack it. And he tells us in verse 6, in everything, no matter what it is, light, medium, or heavy, he tells us, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How many of you are hearing for the first time it's important for us to pray? How many of you watching online are hearing for the first time it's important for us to pray? Go ahead, raise your hand, wherever you are. Alan. We know prayer is important. Why does God tell us over and over and over and over and over again in his word to pray? We get that prayer is important. We know that prayer is supposed to be a way of life for us. We know that prayer is supposed to be a continual thing in our life so that it's done in such a way it's like without ceasing. That it's this ongoing communication with God that doesn't end. It is a phone call that doesn't hang up. Why would God tell us over and over in his word to pray? It's because as important as it is, and as much as we all need to know or know that it needs to be a present thing in our life, we are still so forgetful, right? How many good parents tell their kids to do the same thing over and over again because their kids still need to hear it? We still need to remember to pray. Because what happens is when our anxiety monster shows up, we are so reactive in trying to look at our bills and trying to look at our finances or trying to figure out our options or trying to look for a way out, trying to manufacture a solution to our problem that we get so focused on our response or our feelings or what we're going through and we lose sight of God in all of this. It reminds me much of Israel. Remember how God told Israel he had this land set up for him. It was a land full of milk and honey, just rich with provision. And so they showed up on the doorstep to the promised land, and they did what every invading army usually does. They sent in spies. Remember, they sent 12 spies to go check out the land. When they went and scoped out the spot, they came back with just tons of fruit from the land. They said at one point, like, there are these two guys that had this, like, giant stick full of just the fruit hanging over it because it was so big and so plentiful. And they came back and they gave the report and they're like, this place is amazing. It's got all kinds of stuff. In-N-Outs on every corner, coffee galore. I mean, like, this is everything we want. They said, but the thing is, there's some giants in these lands. And these people are ruthless. And we try to come into this place, we're going to get wiped out. We need to get out of here. 10 of the 12 spies gave that report, except for Joshua and Caleb, right? And you remember how all of Israel started to listen to the 10, but Joshua and Caleb said something different. They're like, hey, look, if God is for us, then God is for us. These people are our bread. In other words, we're going to feast on them. And what that does is it reminds me of what Paul is saying. because we look at our anxieties and the sources of our pain, and we have an option. God promises peace, and that peace is good, and we can embrace that peace. But too many of us are saying, look, I know that God promises me peace, and I know that I have peace in him, but these anxieties are monsters, and they're vicious, and they're giants, and I can't deal with it right now. So I refuse the peace because I don't want to have to deal with that. And the reality is they see themselves just like those 10 spies. They see themselves in light of the monsters in front of them rather than seeing the monsters in front of them in light of God. What prayer does is it forces us to see God, to see our stuff in light of God. See, prayer in its general term is any communication with God. Supplication is a little bit more specific. It's about the pleading and the urgency of asking something specific from God. But notice, it's not just communicating with God, and it's not just asking things from God, but it's also thanking God. Notice that Paul says that. In prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. Why is thanksgiving important in defeating anxiety? In finding our way to peace. Because this is what thanksgiving does. It reminds us that God has been faithful, that God will always be faithful. It reminds us that God is even currently faithful and currently good, and God always has been, always will be. And it reminds us to look at the good that God is doing, even in the midst of the hard stuff we're going through. Isn't that important? For those of us that are going through some stuff and we're dealing with our anxieties, we're dealing with our depression, we're dealing with our pain, we're like, where is God in the middle of all of this? Well, be thankful for the things that God is doing. How can I be thankful for the things that God is doing when this is what I'm experiencing? So you're telling me in no other way God is proving himself faithful to you right now? In my depression, I have a beautiful wife. 3 amazing kids. Got a job that I love. And I got a relationship with Jesus. I recognize he died on the cross for my sin. He loves me even though I'm a jacked up sinner. Even in my mess and brokenness, he receives me. And he loves me. And he holds me close. Even in my fight with holding on and looking for his peace, he still extends his offers to me. More often than not, when I feel like I have nothing to be thankful for, it means I'm refusing to be thankful. It's not that God isn't good, and it's not that God hasn't provided, and it's not like God hasn't cared. It's just I refuse to see it. That's why praying with our supplications, with thanksgiving, is so important, because it forces me to see him. It forces me to do what we're instructed to do in verse 8. Jump to verse 8 with me. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good or of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In every single one of them, every single one of them is found in God. It's all found in Jesus. So the things that I'm meditating on are of Jesus. And the only way that I remember what I have in Jesus is by focusing my mind on him. And that happens when I pray. It happens when I'm supplicating. It happens when I'm thankful. It forces me to focus on what I have in him. And it forces me to experience his peace. It sets my mind right. See, look, check this out. Do you see the theme baked in all of this? Is that peace isn't about circumstance, it's about focus. Peace isn't about your situation, it's about your mind, setting your mind at ease. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The way that it's written in the Greek is that it surpasses the mind. It could easily be translated, a piece of God that blows your mind is available to you. So you got to set your mind right. And that, right there, is the heart of the issue. It's about our focus. It's about our mind. You might say, well, Brandon, I can't do it. You can't or won't? Because if you notice in all of this, this is instruction. This is a command. Is God going to tell us to do something that he won't empower us to do? Is God going to tell us to do something that's all on us to be able to perform by our own natures, by our own strength? No. God gives us the strength. We've seen it even in Philippians, that the things that God is calling us to, he's going to give us the strength. We just have to be able to own it. And if we're going to get our minds right, so we can experience a peace that surpasses all understanding rather than a peace that comes from understanding, then we have to set our minds and meditate on God. And we do that by praying with supplication and thanksgiving. And then he guards our hearts and he guards our minds and he gives us the peace. As much as we want God to do all this stuff for us, almost like babies being spoon-fed, we want God to force peace on us. There's a point in time where we have to embrace what God wants to give us by doing our part and focusing on him. What if God did give us a peace that came from understanding? What if our circumstances determined our peace, so God was always taking care of our circumstances? Would we really see his provision? Would we really look to him? Or wouldn't we just ignore him? Right? Because we have everything like in front of us. We have everything provided to us. We have everything given to us. We don't have to fight for anything. That fight, that determination for obedience forces us to see him and to seek him. And to recognize that he is our source and to see that he is better. So in closing our time together this morning, I think it's important for us to take a second and to really determine how much we trust him. How much we really trust in his goodness. How much we really trust in his provision. Because we've tried the other things, right? Like, we can't be the source of our peace. Our circumstances can't be the source of our peace. People for sure can't be the source of our peace. The experiences of life can't be the provision of our peace. It has to be in him. He has the omnis. He is all-powerful, ever-present, and all-knowing. Nothing and no one else is. So if we're going to find peace, it has to be in him. Do we really trust that, though? How many of us are in a place where we say that we trust God, that we believe in God, that we know that God is good, that we know that God provides, that we know that God will be here for us, that God will get us through it, that God will be our source of joy and our hope and our strength and all of those things. All the things he promises us in our word. Like, we know it for sure. And we don't even think that we question it. But our actions prove otherwise. For us, when we refuse to embrace God's peace and we choose to hold on to our anxieties, what we're saying to God is, God, I don't really trust you. Like, thanks, Brandon. Now I feel worse. Here's the thing. And this is how we're closing today. Is that I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip talking about what a worthless sinner you are if you can't trust God. And if anxiety is a struggle with you. I'm not telling you that you are just a sitting failure who can't earn the peace of God. But what I am saying is that there is a hard truth that we have to embrace. Because if we are going to overcome our refusal for freedom, to embrace peace and to fight through anxiety, if we're going to get to that place of victory, we have to first recognize the obstacles that get in our way. We have to admit, you're right, God. I don't trust you like I know that I'm supposed to. I don't believe in you like I know I'm supposed to. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I trust, help my trust. Lord, I set my mind on you, my heart on you. I'm going through some stuff. I don't feel it, but I know it's true. God, be here for me. Like, we have to get to that point of honesty before God if we're going to find victory. But here's something else I want to encourage you with. God knows what he got in you at the cross. God knows what he was buying in you and me. So if you're struggling, it's not like God's like, nah, forget that. You don't deserve my peace. You don't deserve my goodness. You don't deserve my provision. But what he's doing here is he's showing us a way there. What he's showing us here is that we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He provided the way for us to have peace in him. And he's showing us the way there. So he looks at you and he says, my son, my daughter, my kid, I love you so much. I don't want you to go through it. I don't want you to go through it without me. Look to me. Don't let anxiety rule your life, but pray. Ask me. Be thankful. Seek me. Meditate on me. I will guard your heart. I will guide your mind. I will be the God of peace. I will be present in your life. Let me have that. Don't let this be something that burdens you or condemns you, but let the conviction push you to Jesus. That's my exhortation this morning. This is how we stand. This is where we find stability, in Jesus. Don't let depression, don't let anxiety, don't let fear rule your heart or your mind. Fight for peace by prayer, by supplication, by thanksgiving, refusing to let anxiety have its place. Meditate on all the good that God is, and you will have the peace that surpasses understanding. You will experience the God of peace and the presence of God himself. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth you declare in your word. We thank you for the promises that are available to us. I pray, God, for us, this would be something that we embrace, that we choose, that we hold on to. If 2020 taught us anything, we have learned that we don't know what's going to happen one day from another. And that life is hard. And that we got some serious stuff that we struggle with. That there is all kinds of stuff going on in our world. All kinds of chaos. But you tell us that we can have peace in our heart, even in the heart of this chaotic world. So help us to be those that respond, that trust in you, that keep our eye on you, that stays connected to you, God. And Father, I want to pray for anyone that might be here presently in this building or watching online that just feels completely broken and lost, just messed up, that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, no hope on the horizon. They might be in debt, not knowing how they'll ever find their way out of it. A loved one is sick with no cure in sight. A marriage feels like it's on the verge of breaking up. child of chosen rebellion. A bout with depression. They don't even know the source. God, there's some real pain, really experienced in a lot of real places and real hearts. And for anybody that's dealing with it, let them hear your heart for them. Let them know that this isn't about theory. This is about truth. That your peace is available. That you don't give it like the world does. It's not situationally based. It's a state of being, just like joy, just like love, just like hope. Peace is available. So give them the strength to fight for it, to step into the promised land, knowing that you are their God, that you are their strength, that they are more than conquerors in you. And that if they're struggling with peace, God, that they would fight through prayer. And they would keep fighting through prayer until peace is fully accomplished in them. That they would be thankful and that you would remind us all the things that we have to be thankful for. That we wouldn't refuse to see your goodness, but God, that we would embrace it. But God, that peace would be experienced by the way that you laid it out in our world, in your word, so that we can experience peace in this world. We look forward to heaven, where peace is easy. But even now, as this life is so hard, we thank you for the peace that you have promised us. Help us to just embrace it. Thank you for all that we have in you. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, your patience, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you for the way you've provided for us thus far. Thank you for all the good things you've given. Thank you for our spouses. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for your word. Mostly thank you for you and for giving us access to you. Thank you for being good. Let that be enough to bring us peace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we close this service this morning, I recognize that not all of us have had that relationship with God to where we experience that peace. And you can have it today if you want it. So whether you're here in person or you're online, if you feel like you are disconnected from God, you don't have that relationship with God so that you can experience the peace and the hope that comes from God, you can have that right now and you can have it today. There's a point where we all have to come and recognize that we are sinners. And in our sin, we are lost and separated from Him. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus was born, and He lived a perfect life, and He was sacrificed on the cross, and He rose again to save us from our sin. And in that freedom of sin, we have access to all the life of God, including His peace. So if you're ready today, confess your sin. Believe in Him. Let Him forgive and atone your sin. Be born again, and in that relationship with Him, find the peace that lasts in the middle of our circumstances and in perfection in eternity. And if you want to know more about that, and if you want to have that today, if you're here, you can come forward, talk to one of the pastors. Let's pray together. Let's talk about this. And if you're watching online, connect with us online. But really, it's just a matter of you talking to God, saying, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe in you. Take ownership of my, ownership of my life and be mine forever. Let me be yours forever. And you'll have it. So again, talk with us today. Reach out to us online. Give us a phone call, whatever. But you can have that today if you want it. God bless you. Have a good week. And let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Let's all stand together. And I love your presence. And I love your presence. And
we'll see you here on Wednesday.